Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
I'm going to draw our attention to the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, where we find a conversation between Peter and Jesus, followed by one of the most poignant, dramatic parables that you'll find in the New Testament. And so we're looking this morning for a few moments at Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 21. Matthew 18, 21 and following. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And then the master of that servant was moved with compassion." That's the same phrase in the parable of the prodigal son, where the father was moved with compassion. And the master here was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And then in the final verse, verse 35, Jesus gives this summary conclusion. "So my heavenly Father also will do to you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." And so here Peter came to Jesus wanting to know the limits of forgiveness. How often shall I forgive? Up to seven times? And whether your Bible has Jesus' response as 77 times or 70 times 7, which is 490, the point of his response, the point of this poignant story, is that there is no limit. Forgiveness is not a matter of arithmetic. Forgiveness is not a numbers game. Forgiveness is not something that you calculate and record in your memory bank. I mean, if it were, some of you ladies might be saying to your husband, okay, buddy, you just hit 480. You've got 10 more chances here. Forgiveness, according to Jesus, it's unlimited. It's a matter of the heart. And there are two things that I want to say right here at the beginning of this message. Number one, unlimited forgiveness is contrary to human nature. As a matter of fact, any forgiveness on any level goes against our sinful human nature. Sometimes it's so difficult to forgive when someone has wronged you and hurt you, let alone to mention unlimited forgiveness as Jesus is teaching us here. By the way, did you hear about the guy that was bitten by a dog? It's bad enough to be bitten by a dog, but this dog had rabies, and it was before they had any treatment for rabies. And so he was in the doctor's office, and the doctor told him, get your affairs in order, you are going to die. And then the doctor stepped out of the office to give him some time alone. And when he came back in, the man was frantically writing on a tablet of paper. And the doctor said, are you writing out your will or a letter to a loved one? He said, no, I'm writing it down all the names of the people I'm going to bite before I die. Look at this quote by C.S. Lewis. Forgiveness is a beautiful word until you have something to forgive. Ain't that the truth? In Luke chapter 17, I find this very interesting because in Luke chapter 17, Jesus pointed out that it's impossible. It is literally impossible to go through this life without being offended and without offending others. And it's interesting to me in that chapter 17 of Luke, that he already dealt with this seven times issue. And maybe this is the reason why Peter kept pressing the issue on this number thing seven times. Look what it says here in Luke chapter 17. Jesus said to his disciples, take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day, think about that. Seven times a day. And seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. You know, we quote that verse, increase our faith. Notice the context in that increase. It deals with forgiveness. Because the disciples knew that they did not have the ability in and of themselves to forgive the way that Jesus was teaching. It was contrary to their human nature. But there's something else I want to point out here as we get into this message this morning. Not only is unlimited forgiveness contrary to human nature, unlimited forgiveness was contrary to Jewish law and tradition. Peter and the others, they were taught all their lives that forgiveness was more a matter of the law. It was a legalistic matter. And according to their tradition, you could forgive someone up to three times. That was the limit, three times, no more. It was more of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and forgiving someone really rarely came up. And if it did, it certainly wasn't unlimited forgiveness or a matter of the heart. It was more a matter of the law. And so here comes Jesus teaching unlimited forgiveness from the heart. Jesus is revealing the heart of God. He's teaching his disciples, he's teaching us that God's love and mercy and forgiveness has no limit. It's unlimited. 7 is the perfect number. 7 is the number for completion. And so whether it's 77 times or 70 times 7, to be complete in God, we have to experience his forgiveness in our hearts and then extend that forgiveness to others. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. On another occasion, Jesus said, if you have a problem with someone, you bring a gift to the altar, leave it there, and go be reconciled to your brother, then come back. Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our what? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That brings us now to this dramatic parable that we refer to as the unforgiving or the unmerciful servant. There are three things that I want to draw from this today. Number one, the unmerciful servant received forgiveness for an unpayable debt. Mark it down, an unpayable debt. We're told here in verse 25 that he was not able to pay. That is an understatement. I want you to get hold of this today. Jesus used this enormous sum of 10,000 talents. There was no numerical number greater than that number in that day. So Jesus was going right to the top, the ultimate. 10,000 talents. Because he wanted us to understand that no one in that day could pay this debt. No one. And do not think of a talent as a gold coin or a silver coin. A talent was not a coin. A talent was a measurement of currency. This is why the NIV translation, it uses the phrase 10,000 bags of gold. Now, a denarii was a silver coin. That's what a denarii was. It was a silver coin. And it was equal to a day's wage. So follow me here. I want you to understand about this, the debt we're talking about. One talent was 6,000 denarii, which means that a person would have to work every day of every week for 16 years just to earn one talent. And one talent, we're talking here about 10,000 talents. So when the people who were listening to this parable for the first time, when they heard this number, 10,000 talents, they understood immediately that this was a sum that was humanly impossible to pay. This man, this servant, he needed a miracle. He needed a miracle of mercy, a miracle of forgiveness. That's what he received. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him. That's what it means to be forgiven. You've been released. You released someone else. And the master forgave him this unpayable debt. Do we see God as the master in this story? Do we see ourselves as the servant? He paid a debt he did not owe. We owed a debt we could not pay. We needed someone to wash our sins away. Like this man in the story, hear me today. We stood condemned. We stood unable to pay. Like the man in this story, we needed a miracle of mercy and forgiveness, and that's what we received in the cross when God sent his Son to bear the cross and to shed his blood for all sin. Aren't you glad for that today? Sometimes I hear people say, and you probably have too, they may confess, you know, hey, I mess up. I mess up a lot, but I'm not a bad person. You know, some people say, yeah, I really mess up, but I'm a good person. And they say that if that's good enough. Folks, hear me. I'm giving you the gospel today. It is not good enough. We can never get good enough. Our own righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who does good, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Oh, but I love this. Psalm 130. Look at this in Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. The servant here, he could not pay even one talent, let alone 10,000. He couldn't even pay one talent. We could not even pay for one sin. Nothing we could ever do could pay for even one sin. If you were to think about your life, and if you could quantify or qualify sin, and you say you find the tiniest, smallest, little sin that you ever committed, the least of the sins, there's nothing you could do to pay for that sin. But God has the answer. I like John, 1 John 1:9. We should be so thankful for this. God hands us a bar of soap. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, thank God for the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. Thank God for the cleansing power, the Holy Spirit. And the good news today about God is that God forgives. And you know what else God does? He forgets. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins in the depths of the sea. Oh, praise God. Praise God for that. The unmerciful servant received forgiveness of an unpayable debt. And if that had been the end of the story, we might be able to say he lived happily ever after. But I want you to notice that wasn't the end of the story. Notice secondly with me, the unmerciful servant received forgiveness of his debt, but did not experience forgiveness in his heart. We know that because he went out and he found a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii. And this servant, said the same prayer that he prayed. Be patient with me, and I will pay you all. And the difference here was that his debt, anyone could pay. Anyone could pay 100 denarii. I gave my wife a math problem this week because I wanted to know what percentage of 100 denarii is to 10,000 talents. And here's the percentage when you compare the two. 100 denarii to 10,000 talents is 0.00016. It almost doesn't even compute. There is no comparison. And yet the one who received forgiveness of this unpayable debt of 10,000 talents, he took his fellow servant by the throat and demanded payment. There was no mercy. And he would not forgive. And he had the man thrown into prison. How would you feel if you owed 10,000 talents and you were forgiven? of that. I don't know how you get that much debt. But Jesus told the story this way, and how would you feel? You would think that this first servant who received forgiveness of such an enormous unpayable debt, you would think that he would have been the most humble, the most giving, the most compassionate, the most forgiving person on the face of the earth. But the Bible says he would not. Now make a note of that. It doesn't say that he could not. Don't ever say, I can't forgive. It doesn't say he could not. It says that he would not, because forgiveness is an act of the will as much as it is a matter of the heart. So when the master heard about what he had done, he turned him over to the torturers to be tormented. And I want to, look, hear me today, please. An unforgiving spirit, an unforgiving heart, it's the worst prison of all. It's the worst prison of all. When you say, I can't forgive, or you fail to forgive whether it's yourself or someone else, you become the victim. And it's torment. Unforgiveness is a tormenting prison. It burns bridges. It leaves us on a bitter island of separation and loneliness. Hurt Christians, I've seen this for 40 plus years. Hurt Christians get hurt in a church. They get offended. They take that hurt to another church, and then it just continues on. Hurt Christians leave the marriage because they can't forgive or whatever the situation is. And we carry these hurts if we don't deal with it. And so, there's one final lesson that I want to draw from this parable of the unmerciful servant. The unmerciful servant demonstrates that God's forgiveness is only complete when we receive it and we extend it to others. There was a boy and his older sister, and they went to spend a week with their grandma. She lived way out in the country on a farm, and she had a pet duck that she would feed and take care of. And so after the boy and his older sister got there, the boy, the next morning, he pulled out his slingshot that he had brought along, and he put a rock in it and stretched it out and let it fly and bullseye. It hit the duck right in the head and killed the duck. So in a panic, he tried to hide. He hid the duck. But his sister saw everything that happened. And so the next few days, as they had chores to do, she made him do all the chores by telling him, remember the duck? So the boy, you know, he's under this load, and finally he just breaks down. He goes running to his grandma, and he's crying, and he confesses. And his grandma hugged him. She said, I already know. I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing, and I've already forgiven you. I was just waiting for your sister to have a change of heart. You know, I wonder how God feels when we fail to forgive others, when we fail to extend that compassion and mercy to others. Look at this. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, I separated these two verses because the Bible puts a chapter break in there, but Ephesians 4:32, Ephesians 5:1 is the very next verse. It's the next verse. There were no chapter divisions, and so you have... He's talking here about forgiving one another. And then this statement, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. From the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Aren't you glad for that today? Father, forgive them. Folks, listen to me. I'm trying to come to an end here in this message. We are the most like God when we forgive. We're the most unlike God when we fail to forgive. So following this tragic ending of the unmerciful servant, we have this conclusion in verse 35. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Look at this great quote from Hannah Moore. A Christian will find it cheaper to pardon than resent. Forgiveness saves the expense of anger, the cost of hatred, and the waste of a spirit. Some of the most difficult words, five of the most difficult words to speak. I'm sorry, please forgive me. In the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, love is not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs. And I want you to look at this verse in James as I'm drawing to a close now. James chapter 2, verse 13. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. You see how it works? Think about what God forgave us. An unpayable debt. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Yes, the Bible says that judgment begins with the house of the Lord. But you know what? I don't look at YouTube that much. But I'm seeing something very disturbing. You see these Christians on there attacking other Christians. There's a bigger battle to be fought. We're fighting against the devil, not other Christians. Amen? And so, mercy triumphs over judgment. I want to encourage you today, don't be a stone thrower. Stone throwers are a dime a dozen. There are always people willing to drag out a sinner and start stoning someone. And yes, when they did that to the woman, Jesus said, go and sin no more. So I'm not saying there is a standard. There is a time for correction. But I would encourage you, don't be a stone thrower. Be a person of mercy and forgiveness. If you err on the side of grace and mercy. I'm going to close with one of the greatest stories of forgiveness, and comes right out of the pages of the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, the first book of the Bible in Genesis. And I'm not going to go into every detail because you know the story of Joseph. Think about this. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, by his family. He was falsely accused, cast into prison. That alone is enough to make people bitter. Someone like that could have been bitter the rest of their lives, not Joseph. Joseph always saw the hand of God. And one day, the day came when his brothers were right there before him. He could have had vengeance. He could have had retribution. But instead, he said this, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. To save many lives. He forgave them. And so I want to ask you today, this is serious. Is there anyone that you need to forgive? Maybe you need to forgive yourself. It is a sin to remember things that God has already forgiven you for, but you keep dwelling on it. That's a sin. To bring up the other people's sin is a sin. God wants us to bury it. So do you need to forgive yourself? Do you need to forgive someone else?
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His Word. Blessings.